This week, the A90 Supra goes out with a bang, and why we think the import market is done going boom. Plus, a custom R35 wagon and how we got a Cummins gas engine before GTA 6. But first, why everyone's getting kicked out of Willow Springs. Welcome to the Big Three. All right, so before we get into the news, I want to remind you guys we're thinking about doing a traveling podcast tour. We want to know what cities we're most welcome in. We have a survey you can fill out that we're going to put in the description. Please take the time to fill it out. It's going to help us out. When you do, you'll get 10% off the donut merch store. And if you don't want us to come, let us know that too, because that's never a pleasant experience. I want to say hello to everybody. You might see it's a different cast of hey, different boy. Rogue yeah. gallery here. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Hilton's joining us. And Max Maddox.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Nolan is on his birthday moon. And Joe has eye boogies.
Yeah, Joe and I were at Benihana's when he discovered that he had pink eye. And
that is the worst place to discover you have pink eye.
It's that raw shrimp. An errant raw shrimp gave him pink eye.
It was my first time at Benihana's.
What an experience.
What'd you think?
It was good. Yeah, I wish I could have stayed for the whole meal, but it was pretty cool.
Oh, so you left as soon as you learned about the pink eye.
Yeah, we had just finished.
And I'm out.
we ended dinner early.
Did you see the volcano at least?
Yeah, they made an onion volcano. It was pretty cool.
That's the highlight.
I took a video of it.
Cool. Yeah. That was everyone's weekend.
Well, we know Max was a home run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Jim? I went to Palm Springs with Devin's family, my fiance. Went to the Air Museum because I wanted to see my grandpa's plane. It was donated there after he passed away. It's a Stearman, I believe the name. It's a biplane. Really cool plane.
I saw one of those buzzed over my house the other day, an old biplane. That's always fun to see.
Yeah. The guys who drive those are crazy. They're crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I go up to the museum info kiosk.
The guys who drive them are a nuisance because it takes up the whole road.
It's a three-lane vehicle. Yeah. So I go up to the information kiosk and I ask the guy, so I'm looking for this blue biplane. It's a Stearman, I think it's called. And it's a biplane. He's like, oh, you mean the blue one? And I was like, yeah, it's owned by Baron Hilton, right? And I was like, yeah, that's my grandpa. He's like, well, it crashed about 2 weeks ago.
Oh my god.
On the runway.
It crashed. Somebody crashed it.
And I was like, so where is it now? And they were like, well, it's offsite getting repaired. Okay. And I was like, do you know when it'll be done or anything? And they're like, probably in like 2 years.
Whoa.
Come back then.
Wow. Can we learn a little more lore about this plane? Like had a plane.
He had a plane. He had a collection. He had a few. I think he had three or four. One of them was a glider. He liked gliding a lot.
Okay. But, and is that when they drag it behind another plane?
Yeah, and then they release him and then he would just go down in like a circle.
What a crazy hobby, dude. Yeah. That's awesome.
And I think he had a hot air balloon too. I could be wrong about that one.
My grandfather, during World War II, he flew a glider, but he taught glider flying. I don't know what you would,
how
gliding.
You
would, gliding. Yeah. Taught gliding. But because the Air Force was thinking of it as an option for bombing because they're silent. So they had this idea they could tow a bunch of gliders up, planes veer off, and then they just glide through. It never came to practice, but.
Wonder why.
Yeah.
But one of his planes was at this museum and now it's in restoration because they crashed it.
What did they do to it?
So they were taxiing on the runway and then their other plane that they had, a DC-3. Yeah.
It was Spirit Airlines. Took it off.
It was a DC-3 World War II plane, big like cargo plane, and it knocked the top wing off.
Yeah.
As they were taxiing and caused it to steer off.
Dang.
Bummer. And crashed it.
Well, at least it's gonna get fixed.
Yeah. Nice. I hope they fix it. But yeah, he has another plane. I was looking online to see where all his other planes are at, and one's at the San Diego Air Museum. So now I got to go there.
Okay.
I've never seen any of the planes. I never got to see his hangar.
Would someone take you up in one?
The Stearman, you could. You could request to go up in the biplane. Cool. I don't think I would, but.
Man, I've always wanted to drive an old plane.
There was some place in Florida. I didn't do it because I was getting married and there was a lot of prep stuff, but my brother and uncle and
cousins went out, and it was just that, where they would take people up in these old planes, and the guy, my brother was in the plane, the guy was like, "You want to do a loop?" And my brother's kind of like, "Nope." And he's like, "All right, we're doing a loop. Oh, cool. Grab the yoke." He's like, "What? Just pull back. Just listen to me. Pull back. Pull. Yep. You got it." I was like, "Was it fun?" And he's like, "No."
Has your brother ever flown
no,
a plane?
Never flown it. Like, has no, you know, the most plane experience is putting something in an overhead bin. So the guy was just like, "Take it. It's take it. Just, I gotcha."
It's just like Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yeah. I haven't done that either.
Except you can't. You can't save.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. I do think that if I ever got behind the wheel of a plane, I'd try some
you
stuff.
You mean the yoke.
Yeah. The yoke, yeah. Yeah. No, I'd be trying stuff. I'd be doing, I don't know if I'd do a barrel roll per se, but, you know, I'd be testing the G-forces of that bitch. That's for sure. Fun. Yeah.
But yeah, one day I'll see all my grandpa's planes. That's a goal.
Well, and that was in Palm Springs.
Yeah, Palm Springs.
Another springs we're going to talk about is Willow Springs.
Whoa, today. Great transition, yeah,
thanks,
Bart.
Guys. So Willow Springs is kicking tenants out. Photos of eviction notices posted at the track that state all tenants must take all of their belongings and leave the property by 5 p.m. on March 29th have been circulating on social media. In case you missed the news, the facility was sold last month to private equity firm Cross Harbor Capital after 63 years of private ownership.
Yeah, so this is a big deal. Obviously, Willow Springs has been up for sale for better part of a year now, and the news has finally broken that the private equity bought it. So it's this Boston-based company that specializes in commercial real estate.
Larger properties. Mm-hmm. I was looking, they do like vacation, like big resorts and
stuff. Resorts, that's interesting. Yeah.
And as we know, the draw of Willow Springs is that it's a world-class track, historied, very storied.
It is a historical site.
And it's known for being super affordable. It was one of these places where somebody's doing something to keep people racing.
Yeah. I mean, we shoot there all the time. That's our go-to
space.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like, it's for to rent out an entire track to be able to test stuff is like, it's a gold mine for us.
It's also just great to be, like, I love going there. Like just the nice breeze on when you get there on a nice day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah. It also it snowed there when we shot the GTR video.
Yeah. It was the first time I ever touched snow.
No.
Yeah, it was.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
At
really?
Willow Springs. Yeah.
That's weird to me. You never been up to the mountain, up to Big Bear or anything with snow?
No, never.
Huh. You're loco, huh?
Yeah. Well, my parents are all surf guys. They're all surf people.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You can do both. That's the beauty of California.
So Willow Springs is sold. Do we know? I guess my question is, who are these tenants of Willow Springs? Do people live there?
So
there are shops. There are people who run and store car. Like there's a bunch of Miatas there, right?
Yeah. For there's spec the racing. Stunt test, like the stunt school. There's a drift school.
Mm-hmm. So these are all local businesses that operate.
Yeah.
Inside.
There's one guy who runs, I think, the drift school there, and he just lives out of his RV year round, and all his cars are unregistered because he just drives them on the track.
Sick.
Yeah, so there's quite a few people in there.
Interesting.
And then there's some buildings that are off the track. I don't know.
I don't know because there's some shops
that are right to the entrance, right? There's like that Porsche one, and then there's a few others, but I don't know if they're on the property.
Yeah.
Because you can lease. I've gone on the websites and you can see those for rent and stuff. But they're the kind of same scheme, you know, same bricks and colors. But you know, it's gonna be tough to see those place go. It's always you drive by and you see all the cars and you recognize them.
Right. So, and you were saying, so I know the firm that bought it, when they bought it, said that they want to keep it accessible. Like that is what they said.
Mm-hmm.
But you were coming from Palm Springs and you were just talking about F1 and you have this idea.
IndyCar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they were doing IndyCar at thermal.
You think they're going to make it some thermal style?
I hope not. Right. But
thermal's like a luxury resort. Racetrack.
It's not really a resort. It's private. You like remember like when we went there and the guy like almost pulled his gun on us.
It's like a country club for like on a racetrack basically.
Yeah.
And so the requirement to join Thermal Club, you have to buy a house, which what are they like $2 million or something now?
$4 million and then you pay there's like an HOA.
How much was yours?
$4 million.
You got in early.
I paid two.
Okay.
Two.
Yeah.
But it's $4 million now for a plot. And I think you pay an HOA fee of I think that's $180,000.
I don't like that at all.
And then that's do a first time buy-in. And then I think it's like $15,000 a month or something.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
We shot, this F1, or sorry, IndyCar. We shot with IndyCar at Thermal Club about a year and a half ago. We did this video on like all the tools that the IndyCar team uses, and this was part of their test and tune day for all the different Indy teams. Mm-hmm. And they have the whole thing rented out. And we went in there and we had credentials.
We went the day before, Friday.
Yeah, and we went through the wrong gate, or we didn't say the right thing, and they have armed security with like huge guns lining the property.
Yeah, they're waiting. They're just like, AR.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you got the sense. It's like the type of security guard where he just like wants to shoot someone.
Yeah.
And he like hopes that somebody would just like go in there when they weren't supposed to, so he could just unload
on
their
pulled
asses.
Up in my Ford Edge and they were like, these guys aren't supposed to be here. Yeah. No way.
And then we took a wrong turn. We went around the track and this guy had his garage open and he had one of those Ferraris without a windshield.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking
about?
No,
that was just in the driveway. Yeah. Yeah.
That's like an $8 million Ferrari.
Yeah. It was so
crazy.
It was
like one of many. Anyway, yeah.
And he also pulled a gun on us. Get out of here.
I think I could see Willow Springs being like a cross between thermal. Yeah. I think
it would have to be.
They'll put probably properties on there for people to kind of like condos, but I don't think they would have it fully privatized.
It would be nice to have, because it really is, there's nothing out there.
Yes.
So at the very least, if they put up some place to stay overnight,
a hotel,
where you don't have to drive 40 minutes, you know?
Place.
Dude, I can't tell you how awful it is to have to get there at like 8 a.m. Then there's no place to stay around there. Yeah. And then you have to drive all the way back to LA. And you were also like, if you're driving your race car, you've been womping on it all day. Mm-hmm. Your tires are all like chewed up from the track. Yeah. And you're supposed to drive like 3 hours back through traffic to LA. Yeah. It's brutal.
I think if they put a hotel in there, it'll change the game. Yeah. I think like it'll elevate Willow Springs.
There's got to be some sort of middle ground though. Right?
Yeah. I think they should put a water park in there.
Yeah,
though.
At least a pool, a lazy river.
If you guys need a consultant, Jimmy Hilton's got it all figured out.
A grotto.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's famously a good idea. All right. Well, it's worth noting that the eviction orders were served by the current landlord and not by Cross Harbor Capital.
Interesting.
I wonder what the story is there.
Yeah,
I gotta know if it's
finally exacting his revenge after lording over them for you know 60
He's
years.
Probably dealt
you
with
fix your own refrigerator
so
and dishwasher. Yeah. You're probably right. He's probably dealt with a lot.
He's probably like, finally, I can get some of these guys out of here. But now it's messed up. Yeah. One of my old cars, my old 240SX, is at Willow Springs. I pass it every time we go to this.
Is that
track.
The one that That's you showed fun. Up to Donut with?
Yeah, for my interview, the white one.
Yep,
that's at Willow Springs.
It's pretty cool.
It's at the drift school. So see it every time I go and I'm like, there, that's where I all started. So
things gone through a lot of clutches then.
Yeah, probably has. It's missing all the bumpers. It's missing all the stickers I had. It still has the gold cage in it.
Oh, you didn't like your stickers, huh?
No, I didn't like all the anime stickers on it. Probably not.
I also just talking about Jimmy cars, your Mustang. What was the name of the anime that you wrapped it in?
Kankole.
Kankole. Like, Jimmy, everyone loves him. And he has his own unique style. And that's a big part of why people love him.
Day one, I pulled up in that.
Day one, he pulls up in the clapped out Nissan. And then first day of work, he pulls up. Just tell us a little bit about your Mustang.
Yeah, so it was
if you guys don't know, right? Have you never done a video?
It was an S550 Mustang, just like high and low Stang, and it was set up for track duties. I had like really nice coilovers on it, nice exhaust,
decent aero,
APR wing, it like a really nice splitter, and then it had a big anime girl on the side.
And the plot of the anime, if I'm understanding it correctly, is that these are female spirits of battleships.
Yes, you are correct. Of World War II battleships. Yes. Yeah. You're right on the money.
Okay.
Have you been watching it?
I couldn't find it. I was like, there's got to be, like, is this, like, did you just watch it because it was weird?
No, it was a...
Or, is
it's
it
a
like
weird
really
math
compelling?
Game. It's a weird math game, but they made an anime of it.
All right.
I just like the designs.
Okay. It did look... Looked both cool and ridiculous. So hats off, Jimmy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. One
no,
day,
seriously,
you know,
take your hat off. This is a podcast. I'm just kidding.
He's got his hat on.
I know.
One day I'll make a return.
Good.
I'll do it.
I can't wait. Another...
You should, that should be the high. You should same guy do the high low car.
Yeah.
one of them's initial D, and then the other one is weird ghost battleships
World
from World
one
War
artillery.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how to get from that into Cummins, so I'm just gonna do it. Next story.
Speaking of hot anime chicks.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
Cummins has just announced its first ever gas engine. Mm-hmm. It is a 6.7 liter turbo inline six.
Oh, that's cool.
And you can get it in four different variants, but the one we're interested in is the Top Dog that makes 300 horsepower and 660 foot-pounds of torque. Cummins, obviously.
Diesel guys.
They promise diesel reliability and service intervals, but the question on everybody's mind is why? Mm-hmm. Well, it's part of Cummins' new agnostic fuel strategy, which aims to diversify the types of fuels Cummins engines can run on to make the company more flexible in the future. So this new architecture can be spec'd to run on diesel, natural gas, hydrogen, and propane.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of options.
A lot of municipal vehicles run on CNG. And propane, I know, is used in off-roading. Mm-hmm, so, and there are conversion kits, so you can convert a regular engine to run on this stuff.
They are going to make this engine so that you tell them which one you want it to run on, and they can do
it's not going to run on the
because then you'd be swapping out your spark plugs for glow plugs and your DEF for
well, and the other nice but none so. This brings also, like, if you're going to have this kind of engine with, in quotes, diesel reliability, without the diesel, you don't need the DEF tanks and those other auxiliary things that you would need for cleaning up all that fart gas.
Mm.
Gee, I love cleaning up fart gas. what's this going to go?
All I do is I just whiff it in and it's gone. I clean that.
So they haven't announced any official,
what it's
like,
going
we're
into.
Going to go into these brands, but we know that Cummins has a pretty storied partnership with Dodge Trucks. But they are saying the kinds of vehicles it'll go in are going to be that medium duty, larger kind of bus stuff, doing a little bit of hauling. You said it's got 600 foot-pound torque. 660. Whoa. So,
well, shout out to Cummins for evolving.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Good for them.
And I also could tell you that Columbus, Indiana is where they're based and they take care of that town.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And it's a very pretty town. I'm trying to think of the rating, but it's like the number five greatest architectural cities in America somehow.
because of Cummins.
Yeah. Because if it's like the town needs a new bridge, they're like, we'll get you an architect for that.
That's
and they
like
have
the
these, you know, yeah.
That's some sick.
El so Chapo
got a,
shit.
Yeah. It's got a bunch of, you know, public art, public spaces. So,
well, we got to go to Cummins Town.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what fuel powers your car. I'd rather be coming than stroking.
Oh, God.
Dude, high five. Am I right? It's the end of the line for the divisive A90 Supra. Last week, Toyota unveiled the GR Supra's A90 Final Edition, the last version of the Mark V Supra that's going to be made. What makes it special?
I think they should have called it the Final Form, right? That's the anime.
Final Form.
Mark V Supra, Final Form!
Turns gold when you hit 6,000 RPM.
That's right.
For starters, it has one of the most powerful BMW B58 engines ever made. It has 429 horsepower. And 420 foot-pounds of torque. Good number.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Many have wondered why Toyota didn't just use the S58 from the N2 and M3, which makes 460 to 560, which is a good question. I don't know why, but B58's been nice. That's been in all the other Supras.
Mm-hmm.
I think just keep doing that's. You're going to have to redesign stuff. Just keep the B58 in there.
I feel like they don't want to make it like too spicy too, because they're gonna have a follow-up sports car and you don't want like the outgoing version of the previous flagship to eclipse the new one.
That's what they did with the Mark IV, and then they kind of put themselves in a hole.
Interesting.
Like to improve handling, it has a special aerodynamic package with a front splitter, canards, and rear wing.
Looks pretty sick.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks like a car where if someone had did it themselves, you'd be like, oh man, this guy knows what's up.
That's a good job. That's a SEMA car.
Yep.
It also has upgraded brakes, adjustable suspension, and more negative camber. The interior is very red and features carbon Recaro bucket seats. Love that.
That's pretty cool.
Good touch. And it has a 6-speed manual.
Wow.
I'm really stoked on that. I feel like when the Mark V came out, everyone was like, oh, auto tragic. Mm-hmm. And everyone was upset. But now it seems like we're getting that manual transmission in most of them. And it's great to see it in this final edition.
This is the final edition. This is the one for the nerds. Yeah. This is the one for the dudes that wouldn't
this
shut
up. This is the collector car one too. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like car collector guys, they're always buying the last edition.
And they're making 300 of them.
And none of these are going to get more than 10,000 miles on them in their lifetime, probably.
It would be cool to see some. I would love to see one with high mileage. Just like track beater, like ready to go.
Yeah, so what's the MSRP?
So price tag on this thing is $155,000. That's a lot of cheddar. You could buy a lot more cars.
Yeah, well, you could buy a Mark IV Supra.
Yeah,
and that's about it.
You could buy probably 100.
It's more than a Carrera, 911 Carrera.
Yeah, you could buy 100 Miatas, guarantee. Guarantee. And you could have a fleet of them. Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather do that.
Yeah.
But probably not. I don't know.
Just a fleet of Miatas with the Amazon smile on the side. just loaded up in the back with just boxes.
I'm starting a delivery service.
That's exactly right.
Mark V Supra, you said it was divisive. I mean, I feel like people come around on it for one.
I agree.
They added the 6-speed. They had to engineer a new transmission style after they'd already debuted it to make the 6-speed work, right?
And that's why it took so much longer for it to come out eventually. I think people didn't realize that we were pretty living in a golden age when we had the Supra and the GR86, GR Corolla. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like this new golden age that I think people are really going to miss.
And I don't think people appreciated when these things were coming out.
No. Like,
I think people
took it for granted, for sure.
And or just wanted to shit on them.
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember it's like, well, it's just a BMW. I'm not even going to look at it. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you think about it, BMW makes some pretty good cars too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, is that an insult?
It's like they put a BMW engine in a Toyota. That's sick as hell.
Ford GTA 6. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Have you guys ever tracked
a Mark V?
Yeah.
I drove one when we drove every Supra.
Okay.
That was a good car. I did like it. It was a manual one. It was blue. I liked the color.
Where would you put it from having driven every Supra?
You mean valeted every Supra?
Sure. having smelled the interior of every Supra.
I'd put it up. I'd put it at number one, I think.
Whoa.
I think I like it more than the Mark IV.
Hmm.
Here's my hot take on the Mark IV.
Please.
I think it's a big car. It is a massive car, and I'm not a big fan of how big it is.
Okay.
Like it's almost like a barge. It is definitely a boat. So I like the Mark V. It's a little bit more compact, a little bit more sporty, I think. And especially with the 6-speed, really fun car.
They're cool, man. I still see them and I'm like, that guy's cool.
Yeah. If you see one with like good wheels, and I think some people have started making, like TJ Hunt made that like aero wing that's like very Mark IV styled. I like that. And I see that and some nice wheels. It's a good car.
I think it was easy to shit on when it first came rolled out of the factory.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it was factory. And now people have had enough time to start appreciating the lines and start accentuating them in ways like you're saying with aero and wheels. And
it just needed development.
Yeah.
And now it's disappearing.
Well, speaking of replacing JDM icons, maybe not you personally, but you can get your hands on a R35 wagon.
Whoa.
Kind of. Chris Watson of Kaiwaka, New Zealand, has designed a kit to transform a Nissan Stagia aesthetically into an R35 GTR.
I just don't think every car needs to be a wagon.
Yeah.
And I say this, I own a station wagon. I think they're neat, but they're just not. Not every car needs to be one.
I agree. And I love wagons. I've said it a lot on this.
I also
will say I like some of the worst wagons. This to me is too short in the back end. Doesn't look as good as I would like it to. And when you look at the rear, it just kind of looks like a Volvo And it's like, well, Volvo's already make that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's using the Stagia rear end, or did he can put some sort of weird rear end kind of design. Do we have a photo of the... It has the Stagia rear end? That's really weird.
So I know Stagia conversions for like R34s have been around for a while.
Yeah, and that's a very easy conversion. A lot of people have done it. Sean Morris of Top Rank, he has one. It's really cool.
And it kind of looks natural because it's like a similar era, right? But I feel like with this one,
like a one-year difference.
Because R35 is what, like all of a sudden 10, 15 years newer car?
2006 or 2007.
I do also, though, think that whatever, I know he obviously would love it because he made it.
Mm-hmm. He put the work in.
I think there are people who are going to look at this and be like, yeah. Because it does look like it, I don't want to say came from factory, but it looks like its own car.
It's good craftsmanship.
You know, and it's clean. And it's one of those cars where you're like, I recognize things about this. Mm-hmm. What is it? You know, and as opposed to sometimes things are like, oh, that looks like crap.
It just feels like if I put a new BMW grill on my wagon.
And
big grills.
To that, it's sometimes that looks really good. Not to bring up the Dodge Magnum again, but I saw a Dodge Magnum with a Chrysler front end. It was kind of like, that's pretty good.
Please don't hit me over the head with the glass bottle. This guy, it's Tofu Works, I think is his username. Yeah. He has made a crazy cyberpunk Miata, though. I don't know if we can pull that up, but that thing is...
Oh, I've seen this one.
I've nuts. Seen that. Yeah. I love that thing.
All right. So he's a
craftsman.
An artisan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he made this thing what he wanted. You can tell that. It's
bespoke.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's selling this kit.
So he's selling the kit? Yeah. It's a kit.
That's cool. All right.
I'll be down.
Good for him.
For $3,760.
That's not bad.
Yeah. That's, and if you're taking the time to get your hands on those cars.
Yeah, Stagia, you could get, I'd say they're pretty affordable too.
Mm-hmm. What, like 15?
I think you could get one for 12, maybe even 10 if it was a high mileage one. Mm-hmm. Automatic, kind of like a base model spec. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's a pretty cool conversion you could do. But I don't think I would do it personally.
Yeah.
No, not for me.
Okay.
Not for me.
But if it is for you and you want to learn more about the build, you can watch Chris's YouTube channel. It's Tofu Auto Works. And so he's got the build of this car and the design.
38 part series. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's almost as long as my Instagram stories about my mother-in-law's transmission oil. But anyways, if you want, we're going to put a link in the description and do check it out because it is pretty cool.
Check it out. Hi, Chris. Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now, back to the show.
Speaking of wagons, did you guys see that the new M5 wagon has way more demand than BMW thought it would?
No, I did not. Bart, tell me about
it. They underestimated it.
Absolutely will. The production split between sedan and wagon right now is 50-50. But if the demand is to be believed, BMW might end up selling more wagons. So,
interesting.
Neat.
Could this be a sign of maybe getting more wagons?
Are wagons back in, or were they always in?
Are rich people more interested in station wagons now? That is the question.
What engine is in the M5?
It's the hybrid. So this is the one that's like wicked heavy.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Super heavy.
Dang, and that in a wagon would be even more heavy, too.
You might have better weight distribution.
I think it's like 5,500 pounds or something like that. It's it's a little obscene.
So this is demand in general, and it's not just like European market where they sell more wagons.
This is worldwide.
This is worldwide, and the chatter is BMW is maybe going to make some more.
I'm curious to see if the people who voted for this and were like, yeah, we want more wagons are actually going to be able to buy them.
Yeah.
Like how well,
this
the price
is my guess
like
is this is the dealer being like, guys, we need more wagons. Like, I'm selling these wagons left and right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what a BMW dealer
says. This guy's buying three of them.
We're waiting for three wagons for this guy. I'm trying to sell him a sedan, and he's like, no way.
I can't put all my golf clubs in there.
Yeah.
I wish I had, I don't know. I can't think of.
Would you buy one of these?
I wouldn't.
But it's not, Max is saying, it's not like, what's the big deal? Right?
I guess if you're going to get a car that's that heavy, you might as well put some extra space in the back of it. Mm-hmm. And I think this is kind of like the RS6 Avant genre of vehicle where they kind of like made that thing cool again.
Okay. Yeah, that is a cool wagon. Every time I see one, I'm like, oh, sick.
Because to me, I guess if you're going to buy a four-door BMW anyway, you'd probably get something like the M3 or you'd get something that was a little bit more on the sporty side.
Right.
And so this is more for like the utilitarian type of buyer anyway. So I guess the wagon makes sense.
It's for that dad core guy.
You know, the most expensive BMW you can buy right now is the XM label, which is about $200,000. What is the big SUV?
Oh, dang.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I went online and I was like, I wonder what the most expensive BMW is. And it was the XM label and I configured it. And I kind of liked what I came up with. It was Daytona Violet, which is a very max color, good BMW individual purple color. And it's got this cool, like funky ceiling.
Okay.
I get it.
Funky ceiling.
Yeah, how's the ceiling funky?
This angular, so you know how the Rolls Royce has the, what do they call it? The stars.
Yeah.
Starry night roof.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a word for
this
that.
This one has a BMW.
This one has this sort of like geometric pattern that's on the ceiling.
Okay. The wagon is $125,000, which is only $2,000 more than the sedan.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. But
it's still
it also,
a high price tag.
Yeah, I would, but it's interesting to me that BMW would be like, all right, we'll make more of them if they're not that much more expensive, but no,
it's a wagon.
Yeah, I think I'd like to do a week where we don't talk about wagons.
A Liberty Walk 360 Modena was recently seized by customs for the last reason you might suspect: radiation. So this Ferrari 360 Modena that belongs to YouTuber Eliminate bought the car in Japan, put like a Liberty Walk kit on, and he wanted to bring it into the United States, brought it over on the boat. Got on the, they put it in a container. It was a container shipping. It was not a roll-on, roll-off. So it was on in a container. It was on the back of a truck heading out the gate through the radiation screen, and then all the lights went off.
Whoa.
And they had to turn the thing around, and you can't stop. It has to go back to where it came from.
That's crazy. Is this from like the Fukushima nuclear reactor zone?
Well, so I'm thinking that it's not the car.
I think there's something else in the container.
I think it's the container itself.
I knew a guy who was coming back from Canada, and he got stopped, and everybody comes out, and it was because he had had a procedure. You know how they put radiation to trace blood and find. That's how sensitive the radiation sensors are. That he got popped for what was in his body.
I mean, maybe he was smuggling uranium glass in there for all we know.
Yeah.
It could have been something very benign.
I mean, automotive YouTubers, they got to start new clothing brands. Mm-hmm. So why not best sell radiation, you know?
Diversify.
Yeah, you got to diversify.
That's crazy. So what does that mean? Does a car get like...
So from what I understood, now this, I think it was about a week ago, and there's probably been some updates, but I think it had to be shipped. It has to go back to the destination from where it came from.
But thankfully, he has a lot of YouTube subscribers. So he reached out and he got contacts from some of his subscribers who work at the port.
He's connected.
And started putting him in touch with other people who could give more clarity. And as he was hoping that there'd be some way to get around this, but because the container did test positive for radiation, and correct me, the customs rule is if something tests positive for radiation, everything in it goes back.
I could see that happening, and that would be a enormous waste of money and resources and time. And
sure.
Well, I'm hoping he can get it out. I'm hoping like maybe they can work something out, get this thing out of there.
Yeah.
But this is one of the drawbacks. I've never seen this happen. I have never seen like when this happened, all the import forums I'm on were going like crazy. How did this happen? Just something you don't see.
You've imported what, two cars now?
The S13 was already in the States.
Okay. So you just imported your R32.
R32. And that was roll on, roll off.
That one also had some like weird surprises.
Yeah.
They always do, but it's, I have never heard of
radiation.
Yeah. Or like, oops, there were also like people smuggling. You know, like,
That's the weirdest one I've seen. And you always see it on the import sheets too. It's like radiation. It's like negative. And you're like, well, of course not.
Of course. Weird. And he had the other thing that sucks is he put a bunch of his crap from his trip to Japan and like personal belongings.
Oh, that's all like, irradiated. Well,
if I'm shipping this car, I'm just going to stick everything in it. And now that's tied up too.
Yeah. That's a damn shame. Yeah. I would be so mad if that happened because I would probably bring over like wheels and just a ton of cool stuff. And
wow. I wonder what Kyle Hill has to say about this. He's a radiation YouTuber.
Dude, let's get him on the scene.
Yeah. Tell those nuclear stories.
Let's tag him and maybe he'll do a video and then we'll get the answer.
I will say he did do the smarter method of putting it in a container. This has just never been seen.
Right.
Because there's roll on, roll off, which you can do. That's what my GTR, but roll on, roll off is very sketchy. I've seen people do it and they've had carpets taken out.
What does that mean, roll on, roll off?
Roll on, roll off is a car carrier. So they'll put like 200 cars in there and then they'll ship it across the ocean. But I've seen cases of GTRs, S13s go into these roll
on. So the drawback of a roll on, roll off is that you roll them on, then it's alone on a ship
for like
a bunch
3 months.
Cars and people.
Yeah.
So by the time it gets off, who knows?
Yeah. I've seen missing shift knobs, missing steering wheels, strut tower braces, carpets, all that sort of thing. So that's kind of the sketchy thing. And also I've seen people's cars just be like, some reason somehow it comes loose during shipping and just hits into another car.
Yeah. Anyways, roll on or roll off.
Yeah.
Not just a bad idea for deodorant.
Another big news though thing with roll on, roll off is one of the main roll on, roll off carriers that's been exporting cars to the United States. It's a Nissan carrier. They stopped shipping. They're going to stop shipping pre-owned cars. So they're only going to start shipping new Nissan cars, but no more will they bring in like JZXs. They won't bring anything that's pre-owned.
Why?
They just don't want to
for
deal
this
with
reason.
It. Yeah, they just don't want to deal with it anymore. Yeah. And I think they just had a lot of issues with like third-party people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nissan just wants to keep it to themselves.
Mm. Keep it 100.
Keep it 100. But a lot of people were speculating that this might actually raise shipping prices with cars because there's not many of these carriers that go from Japan to the United States. I haven't seen any change in the market so far with that, but you know, we'll see. Maybe in a few months, there might be some changes. But speaking of prices with import cars, I know we want to talk about this a little bit. I think they're plateauing.
Yeah, you think we're at the peak?
I think we're at the peak.
Okay,
bringing cars in from overseas.
Yes,
I think that's
from Japan. I think we're at the peak. I mean, the R34 came in.
Yeah.
The prices haven't really changed. They're at 120. They're sitting at 120,000. Obviously, that's a base model. But V-Specs and those, they're staying 120, 140,000. I haven't seen them go anywhere close to 200,000.
Well, dude,
unless it's like a crazy spec.
What's the most somebody paid for an R34? Like 400, 500?
M-Specs and S1s, like $500,000. I did see.
Damn.
There was a Z-Tune, I think. Might have been a Z-Tune. I think it went for $2 million. But you know, those are obviously very special cars. Those are, you know, Nismo touches them, and that's like, you know, the peak of the R34. These more of the base model ones that, you know, someone like me or you could get, those are going for 120, I would say.
Yeah, I could definitely buy one of those.
Yeah, base model.
But I mean, that's a lot of people were expecting those to just keep going.
Right.
And I think
we're also, you know, you think about cars being 25 years old.
That was the one.
There was and there's the period of like, well, like we're here.
Yeah.
We got the cars that we couldn't get when they were coming out. You know, like there's the idea of those, the holy grails. And I feel like there's a lot fewer of those.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think a lot of people have also realized that I think a lot of people were hedging their bets on the S15 going up in value, but I think that one's plateaued completely too. The only ones I see going for a lot of money are the EV1, which is like the yellow spec R, really rare color.
Hmm.
So most of those,
I feel like nobody ever really gave a shit about the S15.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. I just feel like the import market's kind of at this standstill right now. And I feel like not a lot of people are buying cars right now. A really good example of this would be the JZX market. I think the JZX market tanked. COVID, they were coming in like 20,000, 25,000. Now they're going down. I've seen them going for like 12.
Huh. What about the K-Truck market?
K-Truck market's going steady.
All right.
But that's because that's not an, it's right. not just an enthusiast car. You know, there's businesses all around the yeah. country that are buying them. Like there's, you know, Catalina Island, that's K-Trucks and small towns like love them, farms use them. Yep. Like it's a very usable car. So I think that's a good market that's still very, like it is at a cap, obviously, because it is just a little truck.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a car that really is helping, you know, the that middle-class American get a little farm mobile or something to just get around town with.
Totally.
Because I think the really crazy thing is those Razor farm trucks, you know, the little Razor mm-hmm. parts?
Yep.
Those are like $20,000.
You can get K-Truck for what, like $8,000?
Yeah.
I didn't know those were that expensive.
They're a brand new one, like fully optioned out, I think it's like, like $18,000 or $20,000.
Luke from Outdoor Boys has a K-Truck with treads on it.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I think it's the coolest car on YouTube right now. So good.
I'd rather have a K-Truck though than one of those like Razors for utilitarian things. Mm-hmm. You can just use a K-Truck for so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Get
a little dump bed on there, probably.
Dude, dump bed. You can get a scissor lift one.
Yeah.
There's the one with the treads. There's a six-wheel one. There's all sorts of options. I would love to get one. I think it'd be so sick. Too many options. But yeah, I think that's like a good car to get into right now.
Cool.
For sure.
K-Truck market going strong. And that's Jimmy's hot take.
Don't JZX market, wait a few years. Pleasure being here again.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
That is our show. We got through it.
This Sunday, Peterson cruising.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
At the Peterson.
what car are you bringing to the Peterson?
I'm gonna bring the E30, which as long as I can get out of the, I share a driveway with this woman who's out of town like half of the year. No. So I was kind of like boxed in for the last couple months, but I think she's back home. I'm going to get the E30 out.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Bring it there.
Dude, can't wait to see that thing.
You bringing your Sylvia?
I'm bringing the Sylvia. Cool. Can't wait. It's been a while.
Cool. I unfortunately can't be there. I'll be in Philadelphia.
Getting a Philly cheesesteak?
If you guys see me driving around in a Hertz rental car, say hi. All right, well, give us a like, follow, and a review on your platform of choice. And you can check out our other podcast, Past Gas. Follow Max at Max Maddox. You can follow Jimmy Hilton at Jimmy Hilton.
At RussellJimmy.jp.
That's right. At RussellJimmy.jp. You can follow me at Bids Bardo. Follow Donut Podcasts at Donut Podcasts. And I just want to thank our engineering crews and production crews.
They're awesome.
Edgar, I want to thank Audrey, and I want to thank our three sound engineers, Matt, Mork, and Mike. And remember, like we said up top, there's a survey down in the description. Let us know which town you'd like to see Donut Podcasts come to. Thank you.